Welcome back to the third hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 509, 77 degrees. You know you can get us on iHeart Media platforms, too. iHeart Radio, yep, we're there, too. That agreement to distribute us everywhere. That's how we like it. So Tuesday, August 19th, 2025, I kind of teased you a little bit before the news break, saying if you thought that that teacher who got probation, 30 months probation, for giving CBD gummies and vapes and offering vodka to her students was bad, this one blows my mind. A Las Vegas teen who shot and killed his father during a fight over electronics avoided prison time when a judge only sentenced him to probation, according to a report. Lincoln Peterson pleaded for mercy and claimed, "None of this was ever my intention," as family members also showed support for the 16-year-old boy 4 months after he pleaded to voluntary manslaughter in the shooting death of his dad, Jeremy Peterson. District Judge Tierra Jones ordered probation for the young 16-year-old, bucking prosecutors' request that the convicted killer spend at least 6 years behind bars, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Probation. Jones noted the overwhelming number of loved ones backing Peterson, who, when explaining her light sentence, nothing compares to losing the love of my life, my husband, and knowing that my own son's action was the cause. The defendant's mother and victim's wife, Abigail Peterson, reportedly said, "But unless you've stood in my place, you cannot understand the depth of the pain that coexists with my forgiveness and love." The fatal argument between Peterson and his father on December 28, 2024, began after his parents took his electronics away for bad grades and believed he was sneaking using them, according to court records. His mother smacked him with a belt, and as he ran from his parents, he picked up a handgun from a dryer and shot behind him, but claimed he didn't know he struck anyone, according to records. Prosecutor Laura Rose argued that granting probation would be too lenient, while defense lawyer Ryan Helmick claimed his client learned from his mistake. You killed your father. How do you learn from that? The lawyer said the teen has been attending school and read 88 books while in custody. Oh, that convinces me. "My father has passed and I will not have him for the rest of my life," Patterson's older sister Mariah Patterson said in court. "I will not have a wedding where he walks me down the aisle. I will not get introduced to my children to him. I will not get to introduce my children to him. But as much as my family is torn apart, there is reconciliation, and I do believe in forgiveness." Peterson, who allegedly threatened suicide weeks before the shooting, could face a jail sentence of up to 15 years that is currently suspended if he doesn't follow the guidelines of his probation, including attending counseling. Our justice system just gets wackier and wackier. And listen, I understand the family's turmoil here. Your husband, the daughter's father, is taken from you in a fit of rage. But come on now. Come on now. A 6-year sentence where he could have got 15 is a lenient sentence. 16 years old, 6-year sentence. You're out when you're 22. You Your mom will still be there, hopefully. Your sister will still be there, hopefully, if they choose to continue to forgive you and go down that path. But did this child learn anything from this? No, he learned there's zero consequences, even for killing your own father. Our justice system has just gone off the rails. And I told you, you wouldn't believe it, because this is just incredible. Because they took his electronics away. And not for nothing, but if the story is exactly the way it portrays here, to where he just grabbed the gun as he was running after his mother hit him with a belt and then shot behind him, striking the father, I would assume the mother was just as much the target as well, or probably even more so the target. So here's someone who probably wanted to kill you, or at least scare the bejesus out of you by shooting at you. And again, you have to realize, I don't care if you're 16 or not, if you're shooting behind you with a firearm, you have the potential to kill somebody. I just don't get it. And thankfully and hopefully never be in this situation, but this is just incredibly dumbfounding on where our justice system is going here. And while these AI data centers are being discussed more and more here, again, I want to give a full picture of this. I want to make sure that it's done right. If these data centers are going to be here, I think one of the criteria is they should have their own power source, not drawing from the public power. If they're going to create their own power generation, more power to them. But when you start looking around the nation, AI data centers are leading to big electricity bills in New York and New Jersey. And who's being hit the hardest? You got it. The residents. Now, summer always increases electricity bills as more people use electricity from air conditioning. But there's another issue popping up this year. Not AC, but AI. Households are now competing against power-hungry computer data centers from the likes of Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft, and it's putting a strain on the grid to power the new artificial intelligence projects. And in fact, it's a fact that New York and New Jersey have both shut down nuclear power plants and pursued expensive green mandates, which has added to the problems. And customers are seeing the big strain on their wallets. It went from $174 in June to more than $300 in July, said one New Jersey mother of two, speaking of her electric bill. Been told to expect an increase of only 17% from her provider, New Jersey Public Service Electric and Gas. My bills have been consistent before then. My house hasn't changed square footage, and we use the same amount of energy every year, she added. Electricity is all based on supply and demand, and so is the cost. Utility companies basically run a stock market for electricity, said assistant research scholar of Ralph O'Connor Sustaining Energy Institute at Johns Hopkins University. Power gets sold in the open market with prices reflecting demand, he continued. Now all of a sudden we have data centers coming in and buying up a lot of that supply. Demand is going up, and so is prices. According to Bloomberg, the rapid adoption of AI means data centers. The huge warehouse-sized banks of computer servers and hardware where users' requests are processed are becoming enormous energy users, far outpacing electric vehicles and other sectors in power demand growth. But generating more electricity isn't easy, and supply can't increase quickly enough to accommodate the rapid rise in demand. Building a new power plant takes a long time, often 5 to 10 years, and billions of dollars of investment. In response, Amazon is investing in excess of $500 million in nuclear power it can use. Google is purchasing power from nuclear developers, while an energy company is revving up Three Mile Island on behalf of Microsoft. That doesn't help people like the Martinez family and her family in the short term. I work, my husband works, and we're struggling. But God forbid I don't pay, they will turn me off. On the Facebook page she moderates, others in her area have aired similar grievances, concerns. Didn't get my bill yet, but I'm afraid, one person posted. Another said our bill went up 20% over the last year. A representative from PSE&G told reporters they work hard to keep customers' bills as low as possible while providing safe and reliable energy. We understand that any increase can be a challenge, and we are here to help. Last week, New York City's Public Commission voted on National Grid's bid to raise gas and electric rates for upstate New York customers. Syracuse.com reported that within 3 years, gas and electricity will rise by some $600 annually on the average household because of demand. At the same time, New York State Electric and Gas Company has said it will charge 23.7% more than it currently does to homes. People on fixed incomes can't afford to pay anything but the electric bill. When it comes down to making a choice, whether it's food or electric, the electric gets paid. We can't afford another rate hike. The bills are astronomical now. They said that there's two solutions to protect consumers. One would be apply tariffs to data centers. The second would be more severe and invoke taking data centers out of the regional market and instead be made to procure energy on their own. That's what needs to be looked at here, and it is being talked about. Some of the plans here do include their own data center, their own power generation. Unless these data centers that are scattered about our area in greater and greater numbers have their own power supply, mark one fact, your rates will go up. If they have their own power supply, demand should subside. And therefore, stabilize. If they create a power grid that's larger, where they can support the neighborhoods that they're being built in, even better for the residential user. One of the things that needs to be addressed here is these data centers need to have and generate their own power supply. If they are drawing off the grid, demand is up, and our rates will increase. So I'm all for these AI data centers and the property they're being put on and everything like that, but it needs to be an asset to the areas they are put in. These companies, these multi-billion dollar companies, need to commit to shoring up the power grid, providing their own energy, and make their existence here as our neighbors beneficial to the neighbors. Not a burden, not a cause for increase of rates, but good neighbors. And they have the money to do so, and there's plenty of money of them for them to be made. But they need to do it the right way. And our elected officials need to make sure that they look at places like I just described to you in New York and New Jersey, right here, where this is already happening and rates are already going up 27.3%. Not many of us can handle a 27% electric bill rate. Our bills go up during the summer regardless. I know mine has. But the benefits of these AI centers shouldn't be on the back of our electric bills. And that's what needs to be the focus here. Water supply also needs to be checked into, but there's also where they can use gray water from our sewage plants. They can use an antifreeze-type coolant, which does not use groundwater. So there's workarounds for that. But the power that these AI data centers need to survive, it needs to be in addition to what we already have. It's 5:23 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. So MSNBC was literally so bad that they have to pretend they're not them now. Yeah, it is that bad. And they're getting mercilessly mocked over their new MS Now name. Most surely no one is watching. That's the acronym there. The leaning left cable channel MSNBC, home of Rachel Maddow and other Trump-bashing anchors, was derided on Monday for the worst rebrand since New Coke after announcing the name change to MS Now. And again, they're literally so bad that they have to pretend they're not them anymore. So no more MSNBC, now it's MS Now, which stands for most surely no one is watching. I just did see a video where Joy Reid did an interview, and I know I don't think even think she's on anymore, but she just did an interview on some podcast. And I don't know what she's got against Elvis Presley, but she's obviously racist and doesn't like white people. But she was saying that Elvis Presley and other white inventors all stole their ideas from black Americans and black culture. So I don't know what Elvis Presley ever did to her, but I guess she's not happy with him. But I don't think the rebrand is going to make a difference. Their big media push is now MS Now, my source, news, opinion, and world. Yeah, you go with that. You're still going to be a failure. So what do you think of the new MS Now? Is it going to make you watch to check it out? Listen, I'll be honest. I look at all news sources, and I do flip around, especially when there's major current events. I do have the ability to watch multiple channels at the same time, and I do at times want to see what MSNBC is saying. As crazy as they are, you have to see what is being said. CNN, I check their news source every morning. You know, I do flip back and forth. Unbeknownst to some of the haters out there, I actually watch very little Fox News. I'll watch its morning news where it's actually news. As far as the afternoon shows, by the time I get home, I watch Bret Baier usually if I can catch it when I get home for a little bit. He's usually almost over by the time I get home. Sean Hannity, I don't watch anymore, or I can't watch anymore. I like Jesse Waters, but it's just not in the mood for something like that after I've worked a whole day researching stories. And Laura Ingraham, about the same. Unless she has a guest on that I want to hear what they have to say, you know, I don't really watch a lot of that. I'll watch the later night news. You know, a little Trace Gallagher, if he's got something, if something's happening there. But by that time, I'm normally headed to bed anyway. So, you know, I'll watch a little bit in the middle of the day. I do like to see Outnumbered with their panel to see what's happening there. But other than that, that's about it for me as far as that. But I do flip around. A lot of C-SPAN. A lot of the different news channels and cable. But mostly, it's print news. And social media. You get it faster. You get it from a more wide variety. And get different perspectives. And I highly recommend, which I have from the start here, in my 2.5 years I've been here, research your story from all angles. You hear something I say or talk about, go do your research on it. Dig into it. Find out what you want to know about it. Not the people chirping the talking points out there time and time again, to where at this point, after they've been debunked and proven mostly wrong, and you're still chirping the same nonsense, you just make yourself look ridiculous. So don't make yourself look ridiculous. Do your homework. Research your stories. Become better informed. Makes you a better person. It's 5:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. So if you're an avid listener to the show, and I truly hope you are, last week I discussed a story. Jake, maybe you remember I discussed that story of the zoo that was looking for family pets to feed the zoo animals. And I thought it was an odd request. And again, I believe it was Norway or New Zealand or something like that. And Denmark, one of those places. And I kind of said it in jest, and then I caveated it to, you know, a lot of, you know, we think of cats and dogs and stuff like that as our family pets, where in a lot of these countries, you know, it could be rabbits, it could be other animals that are often prey for these types of wild animals. I know they had a couple of lions, they had tigers, they had some other, you know, carnivores in their zoo. So, you know, I told the story as a kind of lighthearted, kind of shock story with, you know, here it's just unusual for us to hear. But there's a follow-up to that story. Yep. A mom donates her daughter's pony to the zoo so it can be devoured by lions. Nothing goes to waste. A Danish woman donated her daughter's pet pony to the zoo in Denmark so it could be eaten by lions. The woman reportedly gifted her teenage daughter's Angel, pony, Chicago, 57, to the Aalborg Zoo in the country's northern region. Zookeepers said that they're hoping to mimic the natural food chain of predators by feeding them smaller donated pets. It might sound very dramatic and bizarre that you would feed your pet to animals in the zoo, but they are going to be put down anyway, and it's not like they are alive when they are going to be eaten by. So they're not putting live animals in with these. And this pony was close to the end of its life. So rather than just go to waste, they decided to donate it to the zoo. Healthy animals that need to be given away for various reasons, including guinea pigs, rabbits, chickens, to be gently euthanized before being used as food. The zoos have a responsibility to imitate the natural food chain for the animals in terms of both animal welfare and professional integrity. It's part of the zoo's ethos, all zoos' ethoses. Horses will also be accepted. They'll be euthanized, slaughtered by the zoo, with owners eligible for a tax deduction. Nothing goes to waste, and we ensure natural behavior, nutrition, and well-being for our predators, the zoo wrote. When I told the original story, it was kind of just an in jest. This typical pony was donated after it was euthanized due to pain from a long-term health struggle since 2020. Chicago 57 was suffering from a form of eczema brought about by mosquito bites that became irritated in the summer, led to open wounds that risked infection, had to wear a jacket and leg protection towards the end of its life, and was 22 years old. So, just to follow up to the story, you know, not something for not something we're common to hear here in the United States, but again, it is the duty of our zoos to mimic the wild behavior. I know when a lot of our, if you've ever visited some of them, a lot of our zoos, you know, have hand puppets that look like what their parents would look like in feeding infants and such like that of the different animals. I know they do it with vultures and stuff like that. So it was just a unique follow-up. I guess it popped up because the other story last week, you know, popped up on my thing. And, you know, they're checking us out and searching our data footprint. So popped up, so I figured I'd follow up on it. It's 5:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 5:46, 76 degrees as we start to wind things down here. Did you see this container ship, bulk cargo ship, it's called, that exploded in Baltimore Harbor right near where the Key Bridge was? I posted a video yesterday right after it happened. Major explosion on a cargo ship in Baltimore Harbor while underway near the past collapse of the Key Bridge. And it was quite an explosion. The ship, the cargo ship, identified as the MVW Sapphire, a Liberian-flagged bulk carrier, caught fire in Baltimore Harbor near the site of the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge. Reports of a massive explosion. I posted a video of that explosion. The incident occurred around 6:28 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the Pabsco River as the ship was outbound from Baltimore en route to Port Louis, Mauritius, which is right off the coast of Africa, on the east coast of Africa. It was carrying coal, and for whatever reason, the gases associated with the coal ignited, blowing one of its cargo holds. It was the second from the front cargo hold. There are pictures of the craft now. That Pabsco River is now closed, and that ship is stable. It's not taking on water. There were no injuries. And how that happened at the size of that explosion is unbelievable. There were two pilots, plus about two dozen crew members on that ship. Coast Guard is investigating, as long as with the Department of Transportation. It is anchored and there is a safety zone of 500 yards surrounding that vessel. But right now, there are no ships coming in or out of that area, and that's a major shipping port. So another issue there as far as shipping when it comes to Baltimore Harbor because of what they had to deal with the first time when the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed due to another cargo ship striking that. There are contingency plans in place, so they will easily be able to work around this. And again, it's not blocking anything except for that one river, the Patapsco River, which is a major entry and entry point, but there are several once you get under or past the Francis Scott Key Bridge. But again, the explosion was tremendous. It was amazing that no one was injured. I mean, just I understand the crew quarters are mainly, once everything's set and done, are mainly in the back of that ship to where it's controlled from, where the pilot house is. There were two pilots, and what pilots are here is they're native captains that bring ships in and out of port. They come up on a pilot ship. If you've ever been on a cruise ship, you can see the pilot boat come up with that pilot skipper that gets on and steers the boat and drives it in because they are familiar with the territory. They're familiar with the waters. They're familiar with the area. So there were two pilots on this boat, and again, precautions since the last tragedy here, but thankfully no one was injured or killed here, and that's a good thing. Hopefully there's minimal disruptions because we don't need anything else with the supply chain. Let's go to the phone real quick. We have a couple minutes. We have Rich from Laughlin on power issues. Rich.
How are you, Rob? Thanks for taking the call.
No problem.
Rob, I'm starting to think we have to go back to regulation with power. We're being screwed in Pennsylvania. You know, we have lines going to Maryland. We have two big lines going to Cincinnati because they were told by the Obama administration that to get rid of the coal plants. They had massive coal plants there, something like 3 football fields long. And PJM had to get involved, and several companies had to give Cleveland power. And at our cost, the people in Pennsylvania are competing now for that same power. Now, I'm sure they're paying more than we are. But still, if they weren't taking it, we would have much cheaper electrical costs. And I'm starting to think, why did we deregulate if all this is going on? PJM is getting so big. They're in the Midwest already. And it was Pennsylvania, Jersey, and Maryland, okay? And along goes the complexities of hiring more and more and more people, and the overhead just doubles and triples. But I think that's for another time for more experts to look at. But there should be probably a token fee or on the people that are going to take these places with the data, like you said. Maybe a 5-8% fee on them if they're going to be taking electricity. Because in theory, we have a lot, but we don't in other ways, too, because it's all being sent to several other places other than our state.
Well, we supply a lot of the states south of us, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware. A lot of their power comes from us. A matter of fact, the majority of Northern Virginia's power comes from Pennsylvania. But we have to realize it doesn't seem like, because we're equating it to things we know. These data centers use tremendous amount of electricity. I mean, you're talking a single data center could use the equivalent to the energy that powers Scranton and Wilkes-Barre.
Well, I did see in my periodical book that I get, GE has now invented a system where if you feed natural gas in one end, out the other end comes out, it's self-generating using, methane. And they could stand alone with that process. So that is available. But again, where are the fumes going? You know, Pennsylvania shouldn't be the only place dumped on when it comes to everything. The cost of fuel, the exhaust from different places, etc. And it seems like that's how they're using this state. But I would be more amicable if they would pay a fee to generate some of this power to help out. The home should have the cheapest cost. Now, don't get me wrong. Industrial users get the best rate. But homes shouldn't be penalized like they're being penalized. I'm paying like 20, 25% more than I did 3 years ago.
No, if you're putting these things in our backyard, there needs to be a benefit for the taxpayer. There needs to be a benefit for the residential user. And again, with if you look at our nuclear power plants that we have, they are the equivalent to the Model Ts of cars. Today, they are such smaller and more powerful and more compact nuclear reactors that we could put and these facilities can use. Again, it's a different dynamic. It's different concerns. But these data centers, the more I'm reading about them, the more I'm studying them, the more I'm looking into them. Yeah, I think they're the wave of the future. I think we have the place for them to be here. They need to generate their own power. And the residential areas around this need to benefit from that.
I couldn't agree more, Rob. It's late. I don't want to hold you up. We'll talk again about this. Thank you, sir.
All right, Rich. Thanks for checking in. And I truly believe that. And if it's small, compact fusion or nuclear reactors that are out there, and again, we've had people who live in this area who worked in the nuclear reactors we have, and they considered them the types we have. This Three Mile Island that they're restarting for Microsoft is the Model T of nuclear reactors. That's how it's been described to me. They're much more efficient and much more stable methods to provide nuclear energy, and I think we truly have to start looking in that area. That is the true clean energy. Listen, solar is nice, wind is nice, but it's going to only provide 3 to 8% of additional capacity at most. You know, if your house has solar panels on its roof, yeah, that's good for you, but even that's not powering your entire house. It's taking the edge off. It's doing a good job for you, and that's just your personal use. But what's your average electric bill? $130, $170, in the summer, $300 maybe. You know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars in power need for these per month. And they need to be an asset to the communities that they're going to be built in, not a burden. And if they're drawing the majority of the power, and again, if something goes wrong in the summer and there's a strain or there's a storm that comes through here, which we get often, and lots of trees down and power lines down, who do you think the demand for that power is going to go to? That Amazon factory, that Microsoft, that Meta factory that's providing billions of dollars of economic boom? Or your block with your family and your elderly neighbor who probably has an oxygen machine or a CPAP like me? It's a no-brainer that these need to be built in a method to... The cost of shoring up the power grid is on them, and they need to provide their own power. There needs to be a benefit. Not just the job creation, not just the tax base, not just the infrastructure benefit, because the infrastructure is their lifeline. The infrastructure is what makes them survive, and it behooves them to invest in that for themselves, but also at the benefit of their neighbors. And again, the more research I do into these plants, the more I read how residential areas around these, their electric bills are going up. I mean, New York, 27.3%. That's not something we could tolerate here, especially with tax increases on property taxes, reassessments, school taxes. It's just not something we could sustain. So putting data centers here is all well and good, but if you're moving the residential areas out because they can no longer afford it here, then you've just created another Pennsylvania wasteland, the old cold barrens, the old coal scraps that are undevelopable that we have throughout our valley. Can't have that either. So, you know, again, we got to keep digging into it. We got to keep looking this in an educated manner and do what's best for the residents first. It's our community. It's our backyard. It's our home. It's just their business. So we welcome you. We think it's a great addition if it's done properly. It's coming up on 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show. Listen, if you're headed to the beach the next couple of days, well, it's going to be cloudy and the surf's going to be rough. But I'm just seeing now that all New York City beaches are closed to swimming Wednesday and Thursday due to dangerous riptides from Hurricane Erin. And it appears beaches are closed from Massachusetts down to Georgia. So if you're going to the beach in the next couple of days, there may not be water in you. You could still go to the beach, but swimming is closed in most of these areas because of the riptides and undertow that's being provided by this Hurricane Erin. out at sea off the coast. It's not supposed to make landfall, but it is supposed to create havoc along the coast. So all New York City beaches closed Wednesday and Thursday to swimming, and it appears be swimming at these beaches from Massachusetts down to Georgia are going to be off limits to swimming. God bless. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.